you've ever struggled with the idea of starting a business, don't you think it'd be neat to have someone whose business is helping people do that? Well, that's who we have on today. Jermaine Cheatham is the founder of Creators Learn, and his philosophy behind starting a new business endeavor has some deep roots in how our minds work. Really, it boils down to two categories. Humans are either creators or victims. And to get from one category to the other takes a lot of looking at what makes you scared of change, defining the risks, and digging down into the root of why you're feeling that way. Finding your gift, letting it out, following your fear, and asking why your motivations are the way they are key to getting where you want in life. Entrepreneurship can definitely be scary, but listening to this podcast could get you a lot closer to your dream and true freedom if that's what you're looking for. And as always, enjoy the listen. Hey, you're on the hot mic at Arch DevOps with Fritz. I'm here today with Jermaine Cheatham, founder of Creators Learn. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. I was talking a little bit with him, and I'm like, well, he seems really chill. He's laid back. It's like, where are you from? He's like, I'm from Malaysia. It's like, well, that's why. It's such a laid back area, you know. We were talking about the culture there and how it's so accepting and open, and it's really a beautiful country. So glad to have you coming in from there. I think you're actually the first guest I've ever had from Malaysia. I've had people from all over the world.
I'm actually not from Malaysia. I'm from the U.S.
Okay.
I just travel around the world, so this is just where I'm at right now.
Oh, you're just like camping out there for a bit.
I guess so. Yeah, I've been here for about 4 or 5 months.
Okay. Well, that's like a staycation then at that point. You're living there, technically. You made it, man.
Yeah, I figured I'd get out of the States. It was kind of by accident. I got out of the States before COVID hit and all the nonsense that's kind of going on now. So I didn't want to rush back there. So kind of decided to post up in Malaysia for a few months.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some buddies that were here in St. Louis recently, and they got here right before COVID hit. And they were stuck here. They weren't able to go back. And they were from like New Jersey up in the Northeast. And they just finally got back. And it's like, oh my goodness, guys, you've been stuck here for like 6 months, like crashing at different people's houses and stuff, you know? So they had their own kind of a staycation. So what is Creators Learn all about? Let's start there. I'm curious about that.
Well, you know, I really don't see people as, I think, normal people see people. I don't see people as, you know, American or Chinese or black or white or male or female. Mm-hmm. I just only see two types of people, and there's creators and there's victims. Mm-hmm. And so I consider myself a creator, and I wanted to create a platform for creators to go and learn about different business opportunities, mindset opportunities, things they can do to improve their life, and a place to learn. And that's really what the platform's for. And currently we have a course that teaches exactly what I do from my business, which is equipment financing. So we basically finance small businesses in the United States, and it allows me this freedom to, you know, travel around the world, have as much, you know, money or free time as I want. And I want to give other people that opportunity to, you know, seize this opportunity, because there's no reason for us to be stuck in cubicles when it's 2020 and you can work from a laptop.
Yeah, I hear you there. I was talking with somebody just the other day, actually, where we were talking about the change that COVID has brought about in corporate America, where 5 years ago, a lot of companies didn't have work from home policies, and that seemingly overnight, you know, or within a week, they're like, everybody's working from home. And it's like, you guys have been hustling us, man. You could have done this. You could have been doing this. You could have been doing this for like 5 years, man.
I know, but it's so true.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I mean, it is really amazing to see like how rapidly businesses can be created. And it used to be just this arduous task of, oh my goodness, I gotta come up with a business plan, and I gotta get this and gotta get that. But, you know, to your point, with technology being what it is, it makes it a lot easier for people to just say, well, let's try it, see what happens, you know, see an opportunity out there, seize the day, and just build a thing. And if it doesn't work, okay, move on, do another thing. You know, you're basically, it sounds like you're almost processifying, that's not a word, but you're turning building a business into a really easy process and making it available for a lot more people. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's really a blueprint because I've been doing it and it's been working for, I've been doing this for, I don't know, 18 years now. So I understand the nuances and how to make it more efficient and better because I've been just making it better and iterating it year after year. And so now I put this process into a blueprint because at the end of the day, you know, in order really to succeed, you need like a mentor or an apprenticeship where you can learn from somebody else that's already done it to get where you want to go. And so that's all I'm really doing is putting it into a blueprint where people can follow it and just run with it. So it's a beautiful thing that you can share that with other people.
Yeah. Oh man. So you've got like entrepreneurship as a service. That's pretty slick. Yeah.
Where
were you 5 years ago, man, when I started my business? I wish I had a blueprint. I'm flying by the seat of my pants, brother. Sometimes I don't know. I'm like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing from day to day. And I'm like, am I doing this right? Am I businessing properly? But yeah, I just had to kind of learn things as I go. Who do you think would be like the most ideal person to get on your platform to build a business? Like, is there a perfect person that's like, you need to totally get on this? And what is that person?
I would say the most perfect person is kind of like me, where you felt trapped. You wanted your freedom and you're hungry to do whatever you need to do to make it happen. Mm-hmm. That kind of person where you're just like, you're just not feeling satisfied with your current place in the corporate world, I guess you'd say, or working under a boss or, you know, a corporate hierarchy, where you just want to break out and do your own thing, work when you want to work, your hours, and, you know, make as much money as you think is needed for your lifestyle and your happiness, and possibly be able to do that anywhere in the world. But it's really people that feel trapped and kind of stuck, and like they want their freedom, they want their autonomy, but they're hungry, they're go-getters, they're entrepreneurial kind of spirit.
Okay. That seems to cover a lot of people, and it sure seems like a lot of the folks that are in, that are already thinking with that entrepreneur mindset, they're like, I got to get out of here. I got to escape, you know, and I got to make my own terms. I've got a question. I've had this thought for a bit and I've wondered it for a while. You know, what if every single person on the planet was able to start their own business? Is that something that is even feasible, or do we need corporations at some level, like 8 billion people all being business owners? Is that even a thing? Is that possible?
So that's a great question. I think about that quite a bit. Because I think it is possible. And I think the truth is the only way for us to be free as, or actually really to prosper as a world, is where each individual is tapping into their greatest gifts, whatever that is. Maybe you're a baker, or maybe you're an artist, or maybe you're great at copyright. I mean, I don't know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you're able to exploit that greatest gift you have and give it to other people and let them enjoy it. And you're doing it as an entrepreneur. Everybody wins. You win because you're doing what you love doing, what you're great at doing. I win because I get to use your talents for great copy, or look at great art, or hear great music, or enjoy your iPhone. I mean, that's all Steve Jobs did, if you really think about it. Mm-hmm. He was just one guy and started with one company, one customer. Mm-hmm. And he's built that to another level. And there's certain things like, for example, let's take Apple, for example. We would still need Apples of the world, but I don't think we need necessarily a lot of the people within that organization to make those phones. We could have machines make those phones.
Yeah.
And that would free up the people that were making the phones to actually delve into whatever their heart is calling them to do. So we can use their gift, whatever that might be, instead of them, you know, in China jumping off buildings because they're working 16-hour days trying to put together your iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is something that's kind of a really, really terrible side effect of capitalism. You know, it's like, for all the good things that you can think of, it's like you got this blight on it. Like, what, how do you solve that, right? You know, kind of constantly trying to drive down the cost of goods and services and things, and it's like, well, that's what happens after a while, you know. But I've wondered that, you know, if everybody was able to be their own business owner? Would it even be sustainable? And it sounds like, yeah, it probably would be sustainable. You know, it'd be
better.
Yeah, it sure would be. Now, do you think that everybody is, like, everybody's got a gift or gifts of some kind? And I agree with that. I subscribe to that fully. How do people find those gifts? Is that something that you talk about as you get people on the platform, or?
Yeah, I mean, I have kind of a philosophy about that whole idea. Is it's not really finding it, because it's already there.
Right.
It's letting it out, like letting your music out. And the only way you can do that is if you follow your fear. Because the thing you fear doing is actually the thing you should be doing. And that's what I've always done. Like, I've always was scared of rejection. And I've always was scared of like trying new things and talking to strangers and putting myself out there. But I knew there was something there because I was always scared of it. So let me go towards that. Let me lean into it and see if this fear is even real. And it just disappeared as soon as you do that. It's almost like the fear is just the anticipation of what might be. But then as soon as you do it, it's gone. So you realize, like, whatever you're fearing, it's almost like life or the universe or God or whatever you want to call it is telling you, go that way, go towards it. And I think that's how you find out what your gifts are, is go towards whatever you're fearing. Like, oh, I'd love to do this or talk to her or build this business, but go towards that because that's where you should be going. Mm-hmm. And that's how you find it. It's easy.
Man, that is awesome. Seriously, I never realized that that's something that people could be deliberate about. And I mean, I'm sure there's like millions of people that are like, well, yeah, I follow my fear all the time, you know, because how else are you going to evolve in life? But with so many of us kind of looking at fear as something to be avoided, you know, very few of us, it sounds like, actually look at it as data and say, okay, your body's trying to tell you something. Maybe listen to it and drill down and say, what am I really afraid of? Ask yourself questions instead of just, oh, I can't do that. Actually dip in and see, like, what is it all about? This is cool, man. You've got some real, I didn't know we were going to get philosophical on the show today, but I'm glad we did, because I love thinking about how we think, you know, and kind of talking with some other people that have kind of turned that into a system and said, okay, well, we're going to turn people into entrepreneurs if they want to follow their dream, but let's get some process behind it and help you find your gifts. I've got some more questions here in a little bit, but we need to take a short break for a sponsor message, and we'll be right back in just a little bit. So hang on. Okie dokie, and we're back. So, you know, on the topic of fear, what kinds of things were you afraid of as you started to carve out your dream? Was there anything that you were like, well, that's scary, but I'm gonna push through it anyway?
I mean, everything. you know, like, well, what are people gonna think? What if I fail? What if I have to come back with my, you know, tail between my legs? What if, it doesn't work out? What if I lose a lot of money? What if I get sued? I mean, what if, there's fear. If you really think about it, there's fear of everything, every aspect of life. What if I get sick? What if I die? What if, I mean, like, what if is like endless. But the funny thing about the whole what if thing is literally, I think we fear 99% of things that never happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's like the maybe 0.001% of things might happen, but we're just so scared. We never live in the moment. So we lose out on all the fruit of the opportunity we have in front of us to see clearly what I should build.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of that is not having enough space or quiet time to think about, you know, what do I want to do? And then when you think about what you want to do, you'll see the fear start coming up of why I can't do it. And then you can examine that more clearly and say, you know, something, let's think about this objectively, because fear is just an emotion. So let's look at this, like, what would be the best case scenario if I did this? And what would be the worst case scenario if I did this?
Right.
And if the worst case scenario did come about, steps could I take to overcome this and make it better or get back to my starting point? And then let's talk about what's the most probable scenario. And the most probable scenario is probably 95% of what's actually going to happen. It probably won't be the best case. It definitely won't be the worst case, but what's the most probable? Well, I'll probably succeed and I'll have a great life and I'll be happy. Great. Mm-hmm. Then do it.
Right.
So it's like just getting rid of the emotion of it and think about it more logically, best case, worst case, most probable case, and then moving forward.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's also an example of leaning into the fear, right? You know, you're not shying away from it. Like, oh my goodness, like, you're actually spending time thinking about this and saying, well, let's walk it through. Let's pretend, let's role play for a little bit. Worst case, what happens? Could I handle that? Could I survive a worst case scenario? Versus what if everything goes extremely well? Would that be a good thing? Is it worth pushing forward and taking this perceived risk? And, you know, too often the people that I've talked with who just seem to be on the cusp of starting a business, and it's like, it's really not as scary as everybody makes it out to be. Like I when I started my business 5 years ago, it was because I got let go from a job. You know, they had cutbacks and they were like, well, we got to let contractors go. It's nothing personal. We like you, Fritz, but we got to start cutting some heads, unfortunately. That was the jump. That was what I needed. I'm like, all right, well, I'd been sitting on the idea for a couple of years, and I had that fear, like, oh my goodness, what if I don't get the information typed in correctly in the Secretary of State website? Oh, and it's like chewing my knuckles, worried about it and stuff. And that day I just went home and I went ding, and I pushed the button and I became a business, and I'm like, that was easy. So,
yeah, but it's so true. I know. Yeah. It's like, my story is a little different. I had a great occupation, a great thriving sales business. I had all the free time I really wanted. I came to the office kind of when I wanted, but I was still working underneath somebody. I still wasn't completely free. I was still stuck in a go to dumb meetings and, you know, have to go to the office and, you know, all these things that I was just like, I just want to travel to, you know, Thailand and chill out there for 3 months, but no, I got to go to the office, or, you know, I got to be at this meeting at 10 a.m. or whatever it is. And it was just like, so it was harder for me actually to break free because I had a cush. I made plenty of money, but I had this burning feeling I had to move on, but I was still scared to, you know, cut ties and, you know, burn the boat, you know, if you will. But like we said, you know, you just got to kind of figure out best case, worst case scenario, and just what's the most probable case, and then move forward. But I think one of the problems that I ran into quite a bit was I would think about starting my own business, and the fear would come up. But instead of actually analyzing fear and sitting with the fear and thinking about it logically, I would avoid it, run away from it, and get distracted. And you know how it is. There's so much distractions nowadays. I would just open up YouTube, or I would start watching a movie, or, you know, do something else to keep me distracted from thinking about this fear. And you'd kick it down the street for weeks, months, years, and never address the fear because you just stayed distracted, because it's so easy with today's technology to stay distracted. So it's important to have that quiet time where you can actually sit down and look at the fear face to face and lean into it.
I agree. You know, and it's odd that our minds are wired up to go to fear first. Like, of all the emotions that we could experience, it's like, oh, I'm scared. Why do you think that is? Like, why are our brains wired up like that? Is it some, like, evolutionary thing? Or, like, why does it do that? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's pure survival. We're just so used to being accepted by the tribe. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, whatever, 10,000 years ago, if the tribe didn't like you, you're left to fend for yourself in the wilderness. You're not going to survive. Right. So we always, even, you know, national tribes, racial tribes, whatever, we're still kind of in that old mindset, which doesn't serve us as a species anymore. So it's kind of a big problem that we're facing. You see it in the United States, you see it around the world, where everyone's kind of tribal, and the truth is we're all the same. So once we realize we don't really need each other to survive, we need strong individuals to survive, because without strong individuals, we can't have strong communities, families, or continents or worlds and countries.
Yeah. So our minds are kind of lagging behind what society has painted for us today. You know, the way we operate as a society, we don't really need that catch in our heads anymore of, oh my goodness, I have to be liked by these people. So we don't need that anymore. Can we just like
exactly
get that out of our heads? Like, is there an app for that, or a pill or something?
I mean, that's a good question. I think you have to kind of sit with it and realize. I think one of the most important things for people to do is travel. Because it makes you realize, well, two things. One, you get out of your normal environment, so you get away from your friends, family, country, politics, whatever, and you see some other form of life and different ways of living. And you realize, oh, they're just like me and just like us. And there's really no difference besides these labels we decided to attach. And labels are like, they're killing people. I mean, figuratively and literally. I mean, people shoot you for a Rolex watch or you'll hang yourself because you don't have a Rolex watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, it's crazy. So, you know, us versus them, it's just, it doesn't, it's all a fallacy. It's a make-believe idea of labels.
It is. Well, you know, when you're talking before about like distracting ourselves from fear and not spending the brain cycles to really sit and exist with it and think about it, labels are kind of the same way. You know, we're weird humans, right? Like we have the ability to quickly categorize something and say, okay, well, this thing is this, you know, it's got this qualifier. It's a label. It frees us up from having to really think. It's a lot harder to meet somebody and really dig in and really get to know them and really spend time and have good heartfelt conversations. It's much easier to say, okay, this is a such and such person, and then move on and stereotype them. And I think it's just another example of our brains trying to conserve calories or whatever, and, you know, not worry about fear, you know, scary thing, go away. You categorize a person, put a label on them, and then, okay, I don't have to think about that anymore. But the instant we stop using our brains, powerful machines that they are, and we try to save time and energy, it's like we're doing ourselves and the world a disservice, man. So,
yeah. I mean, it's also like the meaning we put behind the label. So, you know, if you have a label for, okay, that's a tree and that's the ocean out there, I don't have any meaning behind that. I don't feel any particular way about it. It's mm-hmm. a tree and it's the ocean. It's just for me to identify, oh, that's the ocean, that's a tree. But it's not like I have some type of strong emotional ties to yeah. what that tree or what that ocean means to me, society, in the greater, you know, I'm not giving a good or bad connotation. It just is what it is. But yeah. the problem is when we put that on people, you know, people yes. we say are this or that, and that's bad or it's good, or they act like this or they act like that. And this is like these broad sweeping statements. That's when we get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that too. As I said that, I'm like, well, it really only is bad whenever it's applied to people. Cause we're so complex. You can't just be like, boom, single phrase. And it's like, I've solved it. I've got this person figured out. No, you don't. We don't have anybody figured out if we're doing that. So, well, as we're winding down this episode here, and I've really, really enjoyed learning about you and what you're doing. And I think you're doing some awesome stuff with your platform. How would people get started if they were coming to you and they said, oh man, Jermaine, I really want to start a business, doing like, I want to be a full contact origami coach or something. If they got this idea for a business, like how would they go through the process? Walk me through the process.
If they want to build their own business, I guess number one would be, you know, why? Like, what's your vision? Like, think about like a year from now, what would the best year of your life look like mm-hmm. if you did want to start this origami business? And think about that and visually look at it and see it playing like a movie in your mind. And then after you do that and you see all these images and sounds and tastes and feelings, then say, why do you want that? Because a lot of people think they want something, but they don't know why they want it. And if you don't have the why behind it, you're never going to follow through when it gets tough and it gets hard. And then I would spend a large chunk of time. I spend every Sunday just with a pen and paper and no other distractions, no computers or screens or music or books or nothing. And I just write down all my thoughts and ideas that I was able to disseminate from all the information I took in for the week and distill like what's the most important. So if I was building the business on origami, I would think like, you know, why do I want to do this? What's my vision of this on that kind of detox day? And then think about, you know, what are my fears about building this? And what's the best case, worst case scenario? What's the most probable case scenario? And then what's like the first easiest step I can do to move towards that? Maybe it's just research origami businesses or file the LLC, which is super simple. I mean, this, whatever is the simplest, easy to get some momentum going, that's the method I would use to get started and yeah. kind of compartmentalize the emotion of the fear.
Yeah. Overcoming that first little step seems to get that momentum going. And then it's just, I was going to say it's all downhill from there, but that kind of has a negative connotation. It's all, all forward motion from there. And you may fall and keep falling and blah, 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 but you're at least you're moving. So But yeah, taking that first step is always the best. Well, man, it's been awesome chatting with you. I tell people, I'm like, I never know what I'm getting myself into talking with someone that I've never met before, but just hearing what you're doing and, you know, knowing more about your vision and what your goals are, it's like, dang, you're doing some stuff I can get behind, sir. So I really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate what you're doing because it's so cool that people decide to pick up the mic and talk to strangers and interview them and ask good questions and be insightful, because that's really what we need to learn from each other is insight, and no one does it on their own.
Yeah, very true. It takes a village, and every time we have somebody on, it's like, hey, maybe the hot mic at Arch DevOps is that platform for people to get their story out there. And I think we've had probably close to 150 guests, and it just in the last 8 months, it's been crazy. It's been a marathon season. But yeah, I'm looking forward to picking this back up in 2021 and seeing who else we can have on, man. Well, I'm going to let you get started with your day, and I will look forward to letting you know when this episode's going to go live, which should be fairly soon. All right.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Take care. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at Arch DevOps.